If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Conservatism radio show with your host, Robert Gordon, who wears the infidel tag proudly and is a proud traditional American, one of those considered a traitor by the Obama nation. You are listening to hour one of the show, where we will try to let you know what is going on with this nation, the things that we need to continue to do to save this great republic from being totally destroyed by Obama and his minions. And yes, Obama, it is a republic. And now, heard through Conservative Nation Media, Inc., on Blog Talk Radio, here is your host, Robert Gordon.
A prominent Texan politician who is running to be the state's next attorney general said this week his state is actively preparing to secede from the Union and become an independent nation if the U.S. falls apart. It seems like we have more and more states thinking in that lines, with the way that old Barry Obama is running this country. Barry Silver Smithersman, currently the Texas Railroad Commissioner, made comments in an interview published in World Net Daily on Monday. He said, "Generally speaking, we have made great progress in becoming an independent nation, an island nation, if you will, and I think we want to continue down that path so that if the rest of the country falls apart, Texas can operate as a standalone entity with energy, food, water, and roads as if we were a closed loop system." Sounds like something like Indiana, I would think. Of course, Texas and Indiana are the only two states that are running their budgets in the black. He added that the state is uniquely situated because we have energy resources, fossil and otherwise, and our own independent electrical grid. Now, that is something I didn't know. But it said, this was one of my goals at the Utility Commission and is one of my goals currently as chairman of the Railroad Commission, Smitherman said. That's why I stress so vehemently oil and gas production, permitting turnaround times, and everything that enables the industry to produce as much as it can as quickly as it can. Unquote. Smitherman added that in the interview that Texas has been very strong in leading the charge against the Obama administration. The comments made by Smitherman have since been seized upon by the liberal groups. Of course, Think Progress published an article covering his remarks last Friday. You are listening to the new Wise Conservatism radio show, heard here on Blog Talk Radio through the Conservative Nation Media on this, the 14th day of September. My gosh, this year is just going by so fast. With a network that Obama and the left wish they could stop but can't, and I am your humble host giving you the show that you look for every Saturday afternoon. I am Robert Garding. We are glad you are here. And now, stay tuned for more. ¶¶ From LadyPatriots.com comes this one, titled Between Barack and a Hard Place, Obama's Options. Comes this one. Barack Hussein Obama from behind has led the United States once again and respected position on the world stage down the path of destruction. We have, in 5 years, gone from the world's only remaining superpower to superpowerless. He didn't start with Syria, and it won't end there either. To understand the available options in this Obama-Syrian disaster, we must first know how we got to this point. It started with the appointment of Hillary Clinton as Secretary of State, a position for which, aside from traveling to different countries while Bill was in office, she was unqualified to hold. Hillary blew the Russian reset, accepted a handshake from North Korea, ignored Libya, hired our enemies as security, allowed her own security team to run drugs and hookers, and mismanaged every last thing that she touched, including having as her top aide Huma Abedin, whose family is deeply connected to the Muslim Brotherhood. Obama began the free fall when he opted not to assist the freedom and democracy movement in Iran, thus sending a clear message to the mullahs that Iran could proceed unhindered. He exacerbated it further when he told Israel to fall back to their pre-1967 indefensible borders, thus telling Israel's enemies that they need not fear U.S. protection and assistance to Israel. By leading from behind in Libya, Obama sent a clear and unmistakable message to al-Qaeda that he was preparing to assist them in the conquest of a country, and he provided them with the arms to do just that. In fabricating the YouTube video story after al-Qaeda attacks in Benghazi, repeating that lie for 3 weeks, keeping the FBI from investigating in Benghazi, and subsequent cover-up of Benghazi, Obama has sent the message to our enemies that they have nothing to fear, even when they kill our diplomats. In Egypt, Obama backed the Muslim Brotherhood, thus giving terrorism's only political arm control of an entire nation, and one which had kept the peace accord with Israel intact for more than 3 decades, thus sending the clear message that the United States, under his rule, would turn our backs on our friends. And so, Syria. Are we tired of that subject yet? After Benghazi and the attempt to covertly funnel weapons from Libyan al-Qaeda to Syrian al-Qaeda imploded, Obama had to find a way to arm Syrian rebels openly, and that proved too difficult in the light of day. 1 year ago, Obama set a red line for Assad and watched him cross it several times while considering no discernible opposition. He also wasn't able to get the weapons he wanted into the hands of al-Qaeda in Syria either. Obama had, after Netanyahu started talking about the red line with Iran, and in closing months of his campaign in an effort to try to steal thunder from a true statesman, he set his own red line, something he should never have done. With the world watching and Obama's frustration growing over not being able to arm al-Qaeda in the light of day, a sudden and deadly sarin attack takes place inside Syria in the midst of a 2-plus-year-long civil war between two really bad actors, Assad and al-Qaeda. Suddenly, Obama saw an opening. A way to offer the assistance to al-Qaeda he had no doubt promised under the table in Benghazi, and a way to be the tough guy the world knew he could never be. From the time he entered office and during active wars, Obama had systematically purged the United States military upper brass of those who would and had stood up to him or told him no, replacing them, as well as his Secretary of Defense and his Secretary of State, with sycophants. Top military minds, Admiral David Goette, General Carter Ham, General David Kiernan, General Stanley McChrystal, General John Allen, General David Petraeus, Secretaries of Defense Michael
Robert Michael Gates and Leon Panetta, chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, ADM, my mind just totally went blank on this one, so ADM period, that's the abbreviation, Michael Mullen, have all been removed or forced into retirement under Obama during a time of war. He put himself in a position to act as he chose to act and do militarily what he couldn't do when logic, strategy, clearer objectives, and military decisions outweighed political decisions where the active force was involved. A week ago, Obama sent John Kerry out to beat the drum, but a world that knows Kerry more for his turning his back on his fellow soldiers 4 decades ago and his current marital status than his acumen for steering the ship of state wasn't about to take seriously the Shakespearean cry havoc and let slip the dogs of war from a falsely decorated clown. And that's exactly what Obama is. There comes a time when good things have to give away to great things. ConservativeNationMedia.com is growing like a Texas longhorn, which is why Michael B. Smith now has his own show. Check out Soldier of Patriotism, Sundays at 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Central, on ConservativeNationMedia.com. But don't be worried. He's the same Michael B. you've come to know and love, and you'll hear even more great interviews and awesome conservative commentary from our very own main man, Michael B. Smith, on Soldier of Patriotism, Sundays at 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Central, on ConservativeNationMedia.com, where America always wins. Continuing on with what I was talking about before, Obama then, the very next day, threw the clown, which was Kerry, of course, under the bus, and relegated him to making an obtuse case for war before members of an unwilling Congress with whom he, Obama, was suddenly and uncharacteristically submitting to for advice and consent. That brings us to Obama's options regarding the Syrian disaster of his own making. None of them are good. As Congress looks poised to vote overwhelmingly against military action in Syria, Obama could characteristically ignore them and let fly with the cruise missiles. Bad move. Assad would easily weather the limited, no-boots-on-the-ground strike and claim to the world that he had beaten the once mighty U.S., and there would be nothing to prevent him from a display of WMD-in-your-face reprisals. Hezbollah is poised to unleash their own reprisals against Israel should Obama attack in Syria, and Iran would claim a proxy victory. See where we're losing here, folks? Obama could accept Congress's decision and not bomb Syria. That would be a bad move, according to this article that I found. That would allow Iran, Russia, Assad, Hezbollah, and a host of others to paint Obama and the United States as weak, and they would be encouraged or emboldened to wreak havoc in the region. There was a lot more there, but you get the idea. Obama is simply not the president that this country needs, folks. He has to be replaced, and until he is, he needs to be made powerless. Call your newspapers and tell them that we want the truth, not the liberal bed-making that they have been handing us. Call your senators and tell them their jobs are on the line if they don't start working for us again like they are supposed to be doing. We have replacements for them. It's time for change, folks. And I'm not talking about the change that Obama promised and gave us. America needs to be brought back to greatness that the liberal left has taken from us and left behind. Don't you agree? We will be right back.
Aren't you glad the so-called fairness doctrine doesn't apply here?
Whether you're on active duty, a veteran, or just admire American Armed Forces, there's no better place to get the widest variety of militaria than at Highlands Militaria. Highlands Militaria is one of America's premier distributors of Fox tactical gear and outdoor products. Veteran-owned and operated, Highlands Militaria offers new and used uniforms and insignia from World War II, Korea, Vietnam, and today, with an emphasis on airborne and special operations insignia, gear, collectibles, and uniforms. If you need to replace a cherished badge or unit patch, or just want to gear up for your next outdoor adventure, go to Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria, where you'll find the best supply of the military gear you need. Shipping is always free with one-day handling time, and your satisfaction is guaranteed. Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria. And thank you for your service.
Getting your child home safely.
Tap your views together 3 times.
Is just a click away.
There is no place like home.
But making sure your child is in the right seat is just one of the steps down the road to safer travel.
I don't know how it works.
Find the right seat for your little one's age and size. There's no better way to get home safely. Know for sure that your child is in the right seat.
How can I ever thank you enough?
Get all the facts at safercar.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Ryan Seacrest for RAD. Over 300 people in this country are killed every week by a drunk driver. That's the equivalent of 2 747 plane crashes every single week. And the problem isn't going away unless we all do our part to stop it. So if you see someone who's about to drive after drinking, get the keys. Don't leave it up to anyone else. Friends don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service announcement brought to you by RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
You are listening to the new Wise Conservatism radio show, and the call-in number for you listeners out there is 718-305-7176.
1, 2, 3, 5!
From the plane comes this one titled Florida Reporter Flows on Guest Speaker at Council Meeting because she didn't like what he had to say. A guest speaker's anti-press rant caused a Florida reporter to throw a profane temper tantrum during the West Boca Community Council meeting on Tuesday. In a video posted on YouTube Tuesday, Sun Sentinel reporter Marcy Schatzman is seen jumping out of her seat and scolding political strategist Andre Flidle for attacking the American press before storming out of the meeting. "The press has no respect for its own profession," he said. "There is no sense of journalism. They have no respect for the country. They are self-serving, incompetent journalists that don't have..." And it was at this point that Schatzman stood up and shouted, "I totally disagree. I'm a member of the press. I'm not going to sit here and listen to this crap. I'm leaving." If you think that's great, there's going to be here to cover anything. You won't have a GD bit of coverage, the reporter added. "Well, what he's saying is true," a member of the audience hollered. Before finally leaving for good, Schatzman advised the audience to ignore what Flidle was saying because he is, quote, "full of you-know-what," unquote. Flidle, sometimes referred to as the Prince of Palm Beach, did not get flustered, using the disruption to argue that some of the members of the press have no interest in having a debate or cross-examining differing points of view. Flidle later talked about the hostility directed at the Tea Party. Listen to the explosive exchange here, and I warn you, there is some language in this.
"Let me see how much worse it is. Franklin Delano Roosevelt, the Thanksgiving parade, got poured on. They took him out of his car before he went to the Jewish stand. They held up a bunch of blankets and they changed his pants because he couldn't change his own clothes. You see any pictures of that, by the way? Do you understand? Right. How many times have you seen him in a wheelchair being carried? You know if they do that for President Kennedy, maybe Fox's or brief debates on CNN? You know if they change his clothes in the closet, they'd be having debates on what kind of underwear he's wearing and what he looked like in his underwear? The president has no respect for his own profession. There is no sense of journalism. They have no respect for the dignity of office. They have no respect for the country. They're self-serving, incompetent journalists who don't have...
I totally disagree. Yeah. I'm a member of the press, and I'm not going to sit and listen to this crap.
Good. Let me go forward.
Yeah, if you think that's great, nobody ever cover anything.
That's
you want to have a goddamn bit of coverage.
Good.
Goodbye.
The press does not know what's down.
Don't listen to him. He doesn't know what he's talking about. He didn't even know about this train line that's the hottest thing in the county right now. He's pulling his
out on. Right, the press has the right to free speech if it's appearing with a speaker, for example. The press and the journalism would question, cross-examine, or debate. They would speak during the speech. An example.
You know, the funny part about this whole exchange, it was a little hard to understand there, was that what you couldn't hear in the audio is that Marcy Schatzman, who was the one ranting and raving, kept leaving the room. And then you could hear her screaming out again. She would come back in and then leave, and you could hear her come back in and rant and leave. This whole thing, the whole thing lasted over 4 minutes. And the video was that long, but I cut it to about a minute and 10 seconds because the rest was exactly the same. She would come back and yell, cuss and rant, and then say goodbye and then leave, only to come back again. To me, this was a great example of how the press is not objective anymore. They want things their way, and if it isn't, they don't care to report on it, making sure in the process that they totally disagree with you and that you are wrong. That is the sad direction that our country is being led. This kind of attitude comes straight from the top, folks, in the White House, and it meanders down to the press. And it used to then take over the population, and it would act like a field fire that was being fanned by a huge wind. There is no control, and it's getting worse by the day. I have no doubts that I could find more examples of this kind of thing if I looked. But that would give these morons publicity that they really don't need. And this is what I just gave them was essentially plenty. They deserve no more. From another blog that I read a lot called Skunk Feathers comes this one titled, Whatever You Say, Here's Mine. September 11, 2013. For months, the media prattled about the million Muslim march on the National Mall. They got a permit. Then came a response, what started as the Million Biker March, organized to pay their respects to the victims of both 9/11/01 to 9/11/12 in Benghazi. D.C. denied them a permit. Call it political correctness or whatever you will, the symbolism went down poorly outside of the D.C. Beltway, so the bikers went ahead anyway. Tax-paying, legally registered voting Americans, many of them veterans and others just tired of being told that patriotism isn't cool if you're not on the left, decided to exercise free speech and the right of assembly and the freedom to travel this great nation from one end to the other. Both groups made their appearances in D.C. on 9/11/13, to be sure. What was billed as the Million Muslim March, with their permit, wound up looking pretty much like this. On the blog, he had a photo of a makeshift stage, and in the photo were five people, and the word in red across the picture said, fail. And underneath it said, what a success, not. And what suddenly snowballed and became the 2 million bikers to D.C. looked like this. Another photo full of people with very little open space anywhere, even without a permit. The mainstream media didn't give much coverage to the latter, not politically correct in their unprofessional journalism void eyes. Now, whether or not 2 million bikers actually made the ride to D.C. is immaterial to me. There damn sure wasn't anything close to a million Muslims who showed up, at best a few dozen. America and the world took notice of both. Oh, yeah, they noted both appearances, to be sure. But they especially noted the latter. Now, speaking only for me, he goes on to write, I well remember the events of the morning of September 11, 2001. I listened to them as they unfolded. I haven't forgotten the victims, the heroes, or the bastards that did it. I haven't forgotten September 11, 2012 either, the victims, the inept response, and the bastards that did it. I will not forget September 11, 2013, for thanks to the internet, I saw it all as it unfolded. And I am damn proud of the 2 million bikers to D.C., from the organizers down to the last rider in and out of Washington, D.C. I'll always remember how they chose to remember 9/11, 2001. All I can say is, well said, my friend. I think it is about time that the lamestream media and the leftist politicians started to realize that they are on the wrong side and they will not win. Sad part about it is most of them just don't have the ability to see that they're losing. They're all sitting there thinking, just like Obama, he'll go out and talk like he's got the support of 150% of the people, when just the opposite is true. He maybe has 25% complete support, which, like I said a week ago, it to me is amazing that he even has any support right now with what he has done to this nation. But as I go on through the show today, you'll hear from several hear about several different people who are kind of high up in being famous or whatever in Hollywood, who still think that Obama is the greatest thing since Kool-Aid. And it totally amazes me. He is destroying this country from the top on down, and then he's going from the bottom back up again, making sure that he got it the first time. And we reelected the idiot. It just blows me away that the people in this country would rather vote for somebody because of the color of his skin than vote for somebody for their qualifications. And then to top it all off, when we on the right finally get a good person to run for president, they get knocked out of there because the GOP, the higher-ups, just decide, well, we're going to make sure that this other guy gets in there because it's his turn. When Obama first won, for the life of me, I'm sorry, I can't remember. Okay, it was John McCain. Then we ended up with John McCain. Not the brightest cookie in the bunch. Not the most conservative by far. But he's the one who got it because it was his turn. This last time was Mitt Romney. He was a little better, but he got it because it was his turn. And my question on this whole thing is, whose turn is it going to be this next time? Whose turn is it going to be that the GOP is going to say, this is who we have to have? And are we going to listen to them then? I sure hope not, because we've got some good people out there this time. We've got some people that would make excellent presidents if they were allowed in, and I'm hoping that they will be, because there are several out there. Let's just hope that we don't get another one like maybe Lindsey Graham. Holy cow, that would be probably the worst thing that could happen. One of the worst nightmares that can befall an American today is identity theft. If it happens to you, it may take months or even longer to recover from it, if you can recover at all. Don't let it happen to you. Protect yourself in advance. Sign up today with LifeLock. LifeLock is a lot more than just your standard credit monitoring service. LifeLock helps to protect your personal information using a combination of data surveillance techniques and outstanding member service 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. There's really nothing that comes close to LifeLock. To protect your identity with LifeLock and get 10% off their great service, go to conservativenationmedia.com and click on the LifeLock banner. Network may not cover all transactions and the scope may vary. That's conservativenationmedia.com. Then click on the LifeLock banner. You'll be very glad that you did.
You're struggling with your mortgage. You think about it. You don't do anything but think about it.
What are we going to do if we lose the house? Where are we going to go?
At work.
I can't let anybody find out. I'm so embarrassed.
At dinner.
How can I tell the kids? It's going to wreck their lives.
And at 3 o'clock in the morning.
I don't know what to do. I don't know how to get through this. What's going to happen to us?
It's time to stop thinking. It's time to start dialing. Call 1-888-995-HOPE for a free government program that offers expert one-on-one advice about your mortgage options.
I'm all alone.
No, you're not. We've helped over a million homeowners, and we want to help you. And now there are more ways to help. Call 1-888-995-HOPE or visit makinghomeaffordable.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, and the Ad Council.
Adopting a new pet is a rewarding experience. And Shelter Pets make super pets. Your new best friend will steal your heart, bring you happiness, and enrich your life for years to come. You can make a difference in the life of an animal. Adopt and bring home a Shelter Pet today. To find out more, visit theshelterpetproject.org. This message has been brought to you by the Humane Society of the United States, Maddie's Fund, and the Ad Council.
Are you ready for kids who eat healthy? Good nutrition can lead to great things. To find out how a healthy lifestyle can help your child succeed, go to mypyramid.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the Ad Council and USDA.
Close your eyes and I'll kiss you. Tomorrow I'll miss you.
Last week, I did my show with a new Bluetooth earpiece that I had bought from like $17. And when I went back and listened to the show, I had to listen to it because everything in the earpiece sounded horrible. And what I noticed was that I did too. So this week, I've got a new headset, and I'm hoping I sound a lot better than I did last week because it was bad last week, and I'm kind of sorry about that, folks. But Colorado Senator Angela Giron, G-I-R-O-N, Democrat of Pueblo, says that Tuesday's recall election, ousting her and John Morris, Democrat of Colorado Springs, succeeded because of voter suppression. Okay. Giron appeared on CNN Thursday and said, "We know what really happened here. What this story is really about, it's about voter suppression." And that was a quote. DNC Chair Debbie Wasserman Schultz made a similar statement the day before when she said, "The recall elections in Colorado were defined by the vast array of obstacles that special interests threw in the way of voters for the purpose of reversing the will of the legislature and the people," she said. "There was voter suppression, pure and simple." According to a Colorado recall expert consultant, Kurt Bardella, Giron and Schultz have been rewriting history. "This is either a manifestation of a desperate attempt at damage control or a complete and fundamental lack of understanding of what happened Tuesday night and why," Bardella told Bardella, both Wasserman Schultz and Giron are ignoring the only real suppression that took place, the suppression of Coloradoans who wanted to speak against gun control while it was being debated in the legislature, but were not allowed to do so. There is where the suppression was, folks. According to Bardella, on March 4th alone, hundreds of Colorado citizens from across the ideological spectrum were turned away from a hearing regarding new gun control proposals that was chaired by Senator Guerin. 30 sheriffs came to speak at that hearing, but only one was allowed to testify. Moreover, committee rules were changed 3 times in 3 days at the direction of Senate President John Morse in an effort to suppress the voice of the people. Like I said earlier in the show, we are seeing more and more of this kind of thing, not only in the media, but also in politics. We have people who lose on the left and then bemoan everything from something that doesn't happen to something they make up, blaming everything that happened on something that isn't, never looking at the fact that they are losing because of their ideologies. And the neat part about this is that they have been losing like this for more than a decade now, and if they would just realize what is going on and change the way they are doing things, they would probably start winning again. But looking at the glass that way for a liberal is pretty much impossible. They blame, for whatever goes wrong for them, it is always someone else's fault. And we've heard that constantly from Obama. It's never their fault. They will blame until the cows come home. And then when all is lost, they will blame again. You never see a liberal Democrat. In order to look at them and see what's going on, to a liberal Democrat, the fault is never theirs. The sooner we all realize this little fact of life, the sooner we will all realize that we have to vote them out of office and never, ever give them the chance at public service again. Their politics destroys nations. It's destroying this one. Their politics are destroying our freedoms. Their politics are destroying our founding documents. And we have to remember that Obama thinks the Constitution is flawed. He said so himself. And we have to remember that he thinks it's flawed because it limits what he can do to the people. That actually kind of blew me away when I heard him say that. But it limits what he and the government can do to the people. It limits. That is not what a Democrat, a liberal one especially, wants. They want power. They want total power. And the Constitution of America wasn't set up to give that to them. So they work to take it. To hell with what it does to our nation. And if you don't believe me, folks, just look at the condition of our country today. It is mainly because of the liberal way of government that we are in the fix we are in now. And it will not get better till we vote them all out of office. Now, I am not advocating voting all politicians out, because there are some good ones. But the liberal Democrats and the moderate Republicans, you know, like John McCain and Lindsey Graham, if they do not have the backbone to stand up and fight for this nation's constitution and the people's freedoms that are guaranteed by that constitution, then they should be on their way out. Period. And the problem with that is most of the voters right now are not voting the way that they should. They're voting like for Barack Obama. They voted because they didn't want to be seen as a racist for voting against him. So they voted for him. It didn't matter what the man stood for. It didn't matter what his ideals were or what he said before he became president or during the campaigns. Well, it shouldn't say during the campaigns, because he's still campaigning. To me, that is an amazing thing. Instead of working and doing the things he should be doing, he's out there campaigning. Campaigning for what? This is something I have always asked. But I noticed in the chat room, they mentioned that McCain is talking about retiring. And that's something that I actually am going to talk about later on in the show. I've already found that it is something that I actually found an audio for that and then didn't bother to get it, which was kind of stupid of me. But I guess every once in a while I will screw up and do something I really shouldn't. Well, I guess maybe more than once in a while, I suppose. But what we need to have now is people with a backbone and a conscience and somebody who wants to follow what the Constitution and the laws of the land lay before them. It's always there. It's been there since the beginning of this country. We came over from England, or our forefathers came over from England, to get rid of bigger government and oppressive politicians who were in their bedrooms and in their homes and doing everything they could to stymie their freedoms. That's why America was formed. And here we are allowing that kind of same kind of thing to happen over again. The trouble is there is no undiscovered continent here on Earth that we can go to and start a new country with anymore. There ain't any. This is it. And if we lose this country, we lose it for good. There will be no other America once America is gone. And once our freedoms are gone, they're gone too. I've been saying this since 2006 when I first started thinking about doing a show on Blog Talk Radio. It took me until August of 2007 to get it going. But I've been saying this ever since then. Why are we giving our freedoms away? Because once we lose them, they're gone, folks. ConservativeNationMedia.com is growing. And we couldn't think of a better way to expand our lineup than to give our very own Bing Fisher his very own show. Uncle Bing Fisher brings his engineer's insight and the love of America to American by Design. Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 Central, immediately following Soldier of Patriotism with Michael Smith on ConservativeNationMedia.com. So stay with Conservative Nation Media 7 days a week, since we're making some big changes and we're just getting started. American by Design with Bing Fisher, Sundays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 Central, on ConservativeNationMedia.com, where America always wins. James Woods continues to pound President Barack Obama on Twitter, regardless what his Hollywood peers might think. This time, the veteran actor blasts the president for sharing data on Americans with another country. The National Security Agency routinely shares raw intelligence data with Israel without removing information about Americans, The Guardian reported, citing a top-secret document that said what it said was provided by the former National Security Agency contractor Edward Snowden. That fired up Woods, an actor known for his intense work in films like The Onion Field, Casino, and Nixon. He sent out the following tweet to alert his followers to the latest NSA news. This article came from Breitbart Hollywood, and yes, folks, even in the bastion of liberalism, Hollywood, there are conservatives and people who do not like Obama. You just heard from one of them. Pretty cool, huh? I especially liked the line in his tweet that said, "The gift from hell that keeps on giving." You said it all there, Mr. Woods. We will be right back.
Hey, liberals, why don't you try rooting for your own damn country for a change?
You are listening to the New Wise Conservatism Radio Show on Blog Talk Radio through ConservativeNationMedia.com, the network that Obama would love to stop but can't. The call-in number is 718-305-7176.
My name is Tom Thornton.
And my name is Cindy Thornton. We've been married 38 years, we're retired, and this is how we live united.
We play golf and we travel, but we also decided we were going to give to and volunteer with United Way at our community free health clinic.
I do the nursing at the clinic.
I work the front office, checking in patients, greeting them, making them feel comfortable.
United Way is how we contribute, because we know our time and money are going to the right places, the places that need it most and implement it best.
Judging by the thank yous we get at the clinic, I'd say we're doing the right thing with our retirement, too.
We even get a few bless yous. It's incredible.
We're Tom and Cindy Thornton. We volunteer at our community free health clinic, so we don't just wear the shirt.
We live it.
Give. Advocate. Volunteer. Live United. Go to liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
This is the sound of a brand new outdoor grill being hurled off a 20-story building. Now a stylish glass coffee table. An electric guitar. These are the things you could enjoy all cast into oblivion. Because when you throw away money on wasted electricity, you throw away everything you could have bought with it. Visit EnergySavers.gov and get tips on how to save energy and money. Then do things like switch to Energy Star light bulbs or Energy Star appliances, then you could save hundreds of dollars a year. So this doesn't happen to the recliner you've had your eye on, or this to the treadmill on your wish list, or this to the shiny new bike your kid's been asking for. Saving energy saves you money. Learn more at EnergySavers.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
From a blog that I found on WordPress called Voting American, and yes, that's the same one my blog is on, came this one about a 95-year-old veteran of Pearl Harbor who owned Obama in his letter to the president, letting him know just what patriots like Harold think of what our president is doing to this great nation that he and a bunch of his friends and others fought and maybe died for. This shows just how great that generation really was. He wrote, "Dear President Obama, my name is Harold Estes. I'm approaching 95 on December 13th of this year. People meeting me for the first time don't believe my age because I remain wrinkle-free and pretty much mentally alert. I enlisted in the U.S. Navy in 1934 and served proudly before, during, and after World War II, retiring as a Master Chief Bosun's mate. I now live in a rest home located on the western end of Pearl Harbor, allowing me to keep alive the memories of 23 years of service to my country. One of the benefits of my age, perhaps the only one, is to speak my mind, blunt and direct, even to the head man. So here goes. I am amazed, angry, and determined not to see my country die before I do. But you seem hell-bent not to grant me that wish. I can't figure out what country you are president of. You fly around the world telling our friends and enemies despicable lies, like we're no longer a Christian nation. America is arrogant. Your wife even announced to the world, America is mean-spirited. Please tell her to try preaching that nonsense to 23 generations of our war dead buried all over the globe who died for no other reason than to free a whole lot of strangers from tyranny and hopelessness. I'd say shame on both of you, but I don't think you like America, nor do I see an ounce of gratefulness in anything you do for the obvious gifts this country has given to you. To be without shame or gratefulness is a dangerous thing for a man sitting in the White House. After 9/11, you said, America hasn't lived up to her ideals. Which ones did you mean? Was it the notion of personal liberty that 11,000 farmers and shopkeepers died for to win independence from the British? Or maybe the ideal that no man should be a slave to another man that 500,000 men died for in the Civil War? I hope you didn't mean the ideal 470,000 fathers, brothers, husbands, and a lot of fellows I knew personally died for in World War II because we felt real strongly about not letting any nation push us around because we stand for freedom. I don't think you mean the ideal that says equality is better than discrimination. You know, the one that a whole lot of white people understood when they helped to get you elected. Take a little advice from a very old geezer young man.
shape up and start acting like an American. If you don't, I'll do what I can to see you get shipped out of that fancy rental on Pennsylvania Avenue. You were elected to lead, not to bow, apologize, and kiss the hands of murderers and corrupt leaders who still treat their people like slaves. And just who do you think you are telling the American people not to jump to conclusions and condemn that Muslim mayor who killed 13 of his fellow soldiers and wounded dozens more? You mean you don't want us to do what you did when that white cop used force to subdue that black college professor in Massachusetts who was putting up a fight? You don't mind offending the police, calling them stupid, but you don't want us to offend Muslim fanatics by calling them what they are, terrorists. One more thing. I realize you never served in the military and never had to defend your country with your life. But you're the commander-in-chief now, son. Do your job. When your battle-hardened field general asks you for 40,000 more troops to complete the mission, give them to him. But if you're not in this fight to win, then get out. The life of one American soldier is not worth the best political strategy you're thinking of. You could be our greatest president because you faced the greatest challenge ever presented to any president. You're not going to restore American greatness by bringing back our bloated economy. That's not our greatest threat. Losing the heart and soul of who we are as Americans is our big fight now. And I sure as hell don't want to think that my president is the enemy in this final battle. Sincerely, Harold B. Estes. Is it any wonder why we call them the greatest generation? It amazes me. We have to hear from people who are right at the end of their life to have them write our politicians and tell them what they should be doing and what they shouldn't be doing. The majority of us who sit in our houses that are, even the worst of them, are better than most around the world, don't stop to think that maybe we can maybe push this kind of thought towards Washington. I keep hoping one of these days that one of those idiots in Washington would hear this show. I don't think they will. They don't want to hear this. This doesn't follow along the lines of the things that they want done to this country. And yes, I said done to this country. They don't want to do things for this country. They don't want to do things to make this country great again. People like Barack Obama and Lindsey Graham and John McCain, for the most part, and John Kerry and Hillary Clinton and all of these bozos sitting in Washington living the high life on our dime, and yes, it's our dime. They're not earning any of this. They're rich. They're rich because of us. And it's time that the people started realizing this. Yeah, they're rich, but they are the ones who are constantly saying that the rich don't pay enough when the rich pay the majority of all the taxes collected. There are people out here that don't pay any, and they're getting welfare. My ideas on this country is that people have to work. People have to help this country to survive, or it will not. And it amazes me that there are so many who have watched this country go into this downward spiral since before Obama, actually, but especially since Obama took office, and still support the man. What are they thinking? Why don't they love America enough to say, hey, Obama, stop this. You are breaking our country. The country I love. The country I live in. The country that gives me the freedoms to do what I want in my life. I would hate to think as bad as I think my life is at times, I would hate to think what it would be like if I was in Egypt or Tehran or some third world somewhere. Because what I've got right now, I have, my family tells me that we're not rich. No, we're not. We struggle from paycheck to paycheck. But to some people in the world, we are rich beyond measure. And it's time that people started realizing this. America is a rich nation, always has been. And unless we let her get destroyed by the politicians who we've got in Washington right now, we will always be. But we have to fight for her because freedom is not free. And I was talking about how people get welfare and don't pay any income tax. And Barbara in the chat room said, and they also get income tax refunds. Yeah. It amazes me that this country really actually is still going as good as it is. As much as we have done to tear down what the founding fathers started, it amazes me that this country is still in as good a shape as it is right now. That I can look out in my yard and see peace and tranquility and see everything in my life going the way that it has. I can't say for generations because I haven't lived here that long, but for as long as I've lived here. I see all of this opulence out here, actually. I own almost an acre of land here. How many people in Benghazi can say that? Probably only the rich ones. And even then, having an acre of land probably is not something that a lot of them have. And this is all mine. Of course, me and the bank own it, but, you know, hey, it's mine. Only in America can this kind of thing happen. Maybe in Israel. Well, probably in Israel, too. But there are not many countries in this world that allow you the freedom to do what you want, have your own house, do what you want in your house, as long as it's legal, and have the government stay out of your bedrooms. Granted, that's something that the government is trying to get into now, but hey, we still have that. I don't have federal agents standing in my bedroom when I go to sleep. Some nations probably do. I keep trying to understand why so many people think that destroying this nation is the best thing to do. And I still haven't figured that one out yet. Maybe it's just the fact that they hear that drum roll of hope and change and think that something better will come along. When right now, America has it better than any country ever has in the history of mankind. And we're watching it being torn down by politicians that we have elected to office. We will be right back in a few short minutes with the second hour of the new Wise Conservatism radio show here on Conservative Nation Media. Please stay tuned for the second hour of the show coming right up after these important messages.
Americans have known Tennessee as the volunteer state since the War of 1812. Now, Tennessee is leading the way in another major conflict. the war to keep America's identity, values, and freedoms intact. Even if you've never walked in Memphis or hiked the Blue Ridge Mountains, if you respect traditional American values, you should know about the Tennessee Action Council. Tennessee Action Council fights to preserve American values, defend our way of life, and protect the U.S. Constitution. This isn't just Tennessee's battle. It affects every American who loves our country and wants to pass the real America, unstained by progressive liberalism, along to future generations. No matter where you are in this magnificent country of ours, Tennessee Action Council is on your side and on America's side. Go to TN4Action.com. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com, to volunteer for Tennessee and America. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com, to stand for America now.
Hello, and welcome to today's lottery drawing. Good luck. And here's today's winning numbers. First one up, it's not yours. Second one, not yours. And another number that's not yours. Okay, this is one number that's yours. It's a 5, but you don't get any money for that. And the final number is not yours.
Yep, so chances are you're not going to hit the lottery anytime soon. Don't get us wrong. The lottery can be fun every now and then. Just please don't rely on it for your future savings. How about this? Brew your own coffee at home instead of buying that latte every day. Brown bag it to work instead of ordering in. Ride your bike instead of buying all that gas. These changes alone can save you thousands a year. Thousands. Small changes today, big bucks tomorrow. Feed that piggy bank. Go to feedthepig.org for more free ideas on how to save.
Feedthepig.org.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
From the heartland of America in West Central Indiana comes the new Wise Conservatism radio show with your host, Robert Girding. We are still considered traitors to the Obama nation, especially since we broadcast from one of only two states that run their budgets in the black, conservative style. Take that, Obama. You are listening to Hour 2 of the show, where we continue working for you to give you the truth that is not told by the lamestream media and the Obama bots. We are being broadcast to you through Conservative Nation Media on Blog Talk Radio. And now, here again is your host, Robert Girding.
These days, the in thing for the liberal left to do is to slam American exceptionalism, you know, the thing that has been, that has made America great over the years. Exceptionalism in our ideals of freedom, the founding documents, the way we feel about being American. But is it only an American thing? I mean, aren't all countries proud of themselves? I mean, others do the same thing without being labeled as being arrogant, don't they? And now the American press, in the form of the New York Times, has printed some of the arrogance of the world telling us Americans that we are dangerous. In a blistering op-ed piece in the New York Times, Russian President Vladimir Putin took the upper hand in this chess game over Syria. He seized the moment to speak directly to the American people about the Syrian conflict. He made the case against military action by the United States, and without making any overt threats, you could read the underlying message. Don't even think about it. Putin is flexing his muscles, that we all know he has from numerous photographs and videos. He is making it very clear that he wants to be considered the voice of reason in this situation, and it is making Obama look like a 3-year-old kid being scolded. Putin waited until the last paragraph to really stick it to America's eyes, with these last thoughts. He said, "I carefully studied his address to the nation on Tuesday, and I would rather disagree with the case he made on American exceptionalism, stating that the United States policy is, quote, what makes America different. It's what makes us exceptional." it is extremely dangerous to encourage people to see themselves as exceptional, whatever the motivation. There are big countries and small countries, rich and poor, those with long democratic traditions and those still finding their way to democracy. Their policies differ too. We are all different, but when we ask for the Lord's blessings, we must not forget that God created us equal. With those words, he parroted what Obama has been saying for years, only now the American people were hearing it from one of our great biggest enemies. I was stunned to see the reaction from the likes of Nancy Pelosi, Senator Bob Menendez, and Senator Majority Leader Harry Reid. They came out and condemned the words of Putin when it has been obvious for years that they believe every word he said. They have stood behind Obama every time he tried to drag the American people down with his attacks on the rich, the inequality of wealth, and his constant apologies for the injustices done by this country. Where is Obama any different than Putin? They both have the same socialist redistributionist ideas and goals. The only difference is that one shows leadership and the other is running around like he is a Keystone Cops movie. Putin knows he can play Obama like a puppet, pulling his strings whenever he wants. He is doing it and will continue to do so, knowing that the United States will do nothing in retaliation. Heck, Obama could told everyone that we wouldn't do. I really wonder what Ronald Reagan would have said in rebuttal to this New York Times op-ed piece. First of all, I doubt that Gorbachev would have had the disrespect to do it. And secondly, Reagan would have taken to the airwaves immediately with a swift defense of the United States. He would have schooled the Soviet Union and its leadership on just how and why America is the most exceptional country on earth, and shown the world that not only are we exceptional, but strong. Reagan would have sternly answered this attack with the explanation that America is exceptional, not because we feel that we are better or superior than anyone else. That is not the case. We are exceptional because we believe in freedom and liberty. We are the beacon of light in this world that millions of people run towards. But I'm afraid at the end of Barack Obama's reign, that light will have dimmed considerably. When Vladimir Putin starts to shape American foreign policy, we are in big trouble. And part of that trouble, folks, is the fact that even Putin himself said we are a democracy. We are not. For crying outside here, folks, we are all in the gig. Are we all in the giggle weeds here? Are we a republic? We are a republic, not a democracy. You are listening to the second hour of the New Wise Conservatism radio show heard here on Conservative Nation Media. We're serious about conservatism and America. You can access us at conservativenationmedia.com, and you can email me at robert@conservativenationmedia.com. Welcome to the show on this fine day of September the 14th, 2013. The number to call into the show is 718-305-7176. And now, on with the second hour. Now, I am one who believes in American exceptionalism. After all, hasn't America been known as the greatest nation on earth for some years now? Well, maybe not lately, because of the liberal left's policies of tearing anything American down. But throughout our history, we have been a nation of doers and thinkers. We were the nation that spawned the electric light and the airplane and the automobile. We are the nation that spawned the way of life that the rest of the world strives to have. We have the freedoms that people in every country of the world want, even though most of them do not know how to get it. America started out as a grand experiment that didn't fail and never did until lately, when the people that we elected finally got a high enough hand in our government to start changing it, though not changing it in the way that the Constitution lays it out. The president right now is making policy changes to the Constitution, and not by following its dictates, but by going around it and ruling by executive authority, something that the Constitution never gave him the power to do. And this sort of thinking is pervasive, people. The press parrots it daily, it seems, using the old adage of, if you tell a lie enough times, the people will begin to believe it as the truth. And now, almost daily, we hear, if we listen, a lie being told that no one counters against. I have watched this sort of behavior from our politicians from both sides of the aisle for decades now. And yes, I am old enough to be able to look back on 50 years of my life and see the changes that have happened here in America. And now we have gone from a nation of laws to a nation that tries to follow the laws of other nations, not ours. And I am leaving out the first 10 years of my life because I was too young to know then. I have watched as this president has worked feverishly to make us something we are not. I remember the speech where he told us that we are not a Christian nation, and then proceeded to tell us that there is no proof in our founding that we were. I was totally dumbstruck that he said that, and no one from the press or the audience stood up and countered that with the truth. The truth that the founders, the people that worked to form this nation, called on God all the time in their speeches and their documents. They called on God, not Allah, not Buddha, but God, our Father in Heaven. The dictates of this union of states has always been Christian, yet we now have a president who allows Washington to give a permit to Million Muslim March in Washington this month, as I talked about earlier, but refused to give one to a million bikers ride. And we all know how those turned out, and if you're one of those that only follow the lamestream media, then you don't know that the Million Muslim March was a dismal failure. And yet the Million Bikers Ride became the 2 million Bikers Ride. Our government right now is totally out of touch with the way this nation was founded and with the American people themselves. Though they all think, to a man and a woman, that the people are behind them 110%. To me, that is the most amazing part of this whole thing. If you listen to the American people, and I mean really listen to them, you would find out that Obamacare is not what is wanted, that the government is doing way more than it was intended to do, that we have politicians in Washington and all over this nation who think that this nation couldn't survive without them, and yet the American people are telling them all to get out of the way. Leave us alone. Let us show the world what American exceptionalism really is. Let us work to get this economy going again. American exceptionalism is the idea that government is not needed for everything. As the Constitution and the founding documents formed it, the government is not the be-all and do-all entity that Obama and the left seem to think that it is supposed to be. That is what the American Revolution was fought to get away from, folks. We came here to start this great nation because we didn't want the government in our bedrooms and our living rooms. We wanted to live our own lives, follow the laws, and be left alone. But that is not how the left and a lot on the right think. Obama, for instance, seems to think that the only thing a government is for is to rule the masses in every possible way, and he is so in tune with that idea that he doesn't see or hear the rising rebellion that is noisily growing all over this nation. And sadly, the leaders of the world like Putin doesn't see it either. And the American press will clamor to a leader saying what Putin did the other day, that being exceptional is something that is dangerous. No, it isn't. The idea that you strive to be the best that you can be is not dangerous, never has been. The only thing that is dangerous in what is going on here are the government fogies like Obama and Putin, who think that no one can survive without the government doing everything for them. And a lot of the people do not seem to get this either. They just hold on to the idea that sometimes they do say the right things, like Putin and even Kerry did the other day when they got the talks in Syria going again. The problem with bigger government, folks, is that the bigger the government, the more money it takes to run it and the less people have to think. The ideal of laziness, folks. We are seeing that very thing now with the amount of money that it takes to run the American government. If we stop to think about just what this nation's government spends in 1 year, and we took that money and simply gave it to the American people, the whole people, everyone would be rich, not just the wealthy few. The government does nothing but take the people's money out of their pockets and then sits in their ivory towers in Washington, figuring out more ways to get more of your money, to take more and more freedoms away from us, the people, and to figure out more and inventive ways around the laws of this nation and the Constitution. And the more they stray from the laws of this nation, the harder it is going to be to get them back. Reagan had it right when he said the nearest thing to eternal life in this world is a government bureaucracy or a government program. You see, I think Obama does listen at times. He knows that once Obamacare is instituted, it will last to our undoing. It is time to rise up and stop this government before it destroys this nation's founding values. It is. As a matter of fact, it was time before Reagan took to the White House. It is finally time that we as people started speaking up and letting the government know they are wrong, and they need to start following the Constitution and the laws that are already on the books. It's time we started getting rid of laws that supersede other laws by doing the same things the laws they replaced did. It's time we stopped making new laws to do things that would already be done if the laws on the books were enforced. It is time to realize that the American exceptionalism exists, and the proof of that existence is in our history, the greatness and richness of this great republic to do the things that we have done throughout our history, and the millions of people that we have helped in one form or another without any thought of what it would cost us, only that it would help someone else. That is not the action of an arrogant country. America is a great nation, and it is high time that we stop letting our politicians tell us that we are not. It is time we stopped allowing the press and the politicians to change the meaning of words and allowing them to continue doing it. Our so-called president, in a speech he gave a few weeks ago, now called us a great constitutional democracy, and it seems that a lot of American people have been told this so often that when it is said, nothing is thought of it by most. But the founding fathers had the chance to make us a democracy and decided against it, because a democracy is a rule by group. Not the best way to do things. A republic, on the other hand, makes everyone a sovereign entity that counts. Everyone is in the mix to make the country work, not just the select few. But what we have now is the forming of a democracy that will then turn into a monarchy as the federal government positions itself to be a bigger and greater than the sum of all the people, so the people will get the idea that they cannot survive without it, when just the opposite is true. And if we continue to allow the government to get bigger, then we have only ourselves to blame for the monarchy that is coming to rule us into servitude. Mark my words, folks, once it happens, the voices of reason in this unacceptable world will become criminals and be thrown in jail. Some of that is already happening. ConservativeNation.com starts off the work week every Monday in a big way. It's Inside Tennessee with Dave Vance. But even if you're not from the volunteer state, the issues that affect Tennessee are spreading out all over America. Dave Vance brings his veterans insight and most informative guests to Inside Tennessee every Monday, so make sure to check him out. Brought to you by the Tennessee Action Council. Inside Tennessee, Mondays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central on ConservativeNationMedia.com, where America always wins.
$80 million voters can pull the wrong lever, and it's still the wrong lever.
This is a guided meditation on parenting. Take this time to breathe deeply and close your eyes. Right now, you're completely in control. Unlike the time you and your son played basketball and you attempted to slam dunk. Or when you tried removing those raccoons from the basement. Concentrate on the soothing sound of my voice. Release the memory of when you wrestled with that beehive in your son's treehouse. Let go of the time you thought that skunk was a cat. or when you pulled into the garage with your son's bike on top of the car. Deep breaths. Deep breaths.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who don't need perfection. They need you. For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
In 50 feet, turn left. Why are you driving so slowly?
After a few drinks, I'm taking it slow.
Well, you're not fooling the cop behind you.
What?
Get ready to pay in 0.1 miles.
Getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Whoa.
The moment my son saw a redwood tree.
It's huge!
Is the moment I knew that for him.
You can't even see the top of that thing!
Even the sky has no limit.
There are some moments only the forest can inspire. Find yours at discovertheforest.org. Learn about forests near you and discover cool things to do when you go. Your moment is out there. Find it at discovertheforest.org.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
I think if we realize this small fact of American exceptionalism, America would survive this latest onslaught. The trouble is, American memory seems to be really short. I remember when Reagan ran for office, we had a lot of the same problems. Soaring deficits, which were not quite as high as they are now, high taxes and going higher, and all the things that we have now, but not so much. Then Reagan won, and conservatism won, and won the day for a while. Things got good and Americans got lazy again and started listening to liberals telling the same old hope and change message they always give when out of office, and we stupidly vote them back in after a few years of good times. Dave Barry in 1989 wrote a book titled Dave Barry Slept Here, A Short Sort of History of the United States, and on page 150 he wrote, "Then we got into the Vietnam War, which is still causing arguments involving the people who supported it but didn't fight it versus the people who didn't support it but did fight in it versus the people who didn't support it and didn't fight in it versus the people who supported it and might have had to fight in it if ever the Indiana National Guard had been called up, which of course was a distinct possibility, and so on. Then more people got assassinated and everyone started hating everybody and there were riots in the street. Then Gilligan's Island was canceled. So by 1968, things were really bad. They were so bad that it seemed impossible for things to get any worse unless truly horrible things happened, something so twisted and sinister and evil that the human mind could barely comprehend it. That, my friends, kind of sounds like today. Things are getting so bad that the people who don't want us to know about it, about that part of it, keep saying good things. And the low-information voters keep these idiots in office to continue us on the road to despair and misery. And as long as we have people that are too lazy to look into and research the people they are voting into office, we will continue to get people like Barack Hussein Obama to run our country into oblivion." It's one of those things that I can't even get my mind around. Why are we voting for these people, putting them into office, when, like Barack Obama, he told us exactly what he was going to do when he won the White House, before he even won it. Nobody listened. He told us that he was going to fundamentally change America. He kept his word. And he is still working like a one-track robot heading in that direction. He wants this nation completely changed. He doesn't want it to be a republic. He calls it a democracy. It's not. He doesn't even want it to be a democracy, for that matter. He wants it to be a monarchy, and he wants to be the one in the top position. And nobody seems to think that way. They think if they oppose him, then they're going to be labeled as racists, and, oh, my God, that can't happen because I'm not a racist. I can't be labeled as one. It doesn't matter that the people labeling us as racists are more racist than we could ever hope to be. But we still keep ourselves on the defense, not stopping to think that if you're fighting a defensive war, you're never going to win it. The only way to win this war, and yes, folks, it is a war, is to go on the offense. Something that shows like mine usually are, even though we keep bringing up things that the liberal left is doing to this nation. But the thing that makes shows like this one and like Rush and Political Pistachio and Soldier of Patriotism and Women Patriots and American by Design and Radio Free America and all of us on Conservative Nation Media different is the fact that we will tell you what the liberal left is doing to this country, but we will also tell you what it'll take to fix this country. Fixing this country would go a long way towards fixing this country if we would just go back to following our laws, enforcing our laws, and following the Constitution. Those things right there would bring this country back from a lot of what it's going through right now. But then we have all of these idiots who come along and say, well, we can't follow the Constitution. It was written over 200 years ago. It doesn't apply to today. Yes, it does. It applies very much to today because the document was formed with inspiration that made it so that this country has lasted and was great during most of the time it has lasted. Right now we're caught in the funnel going down the toilet. But we can still save ourselves if we do what needs to be done. And most of that is voting these people out of office who do not like the Constitution. Thankfully, we've got John McCain now saying, oh, I don't think I'm going to run anymore. I don't want to be one of those old fogies who should have left a long time ago. Sorry, John, you already are. But the thing that Obama and all of these people are not seeing are the things like the motorcyclists that rode into Washington, D.C. to have their own private, well, not private, but peaceful demonstration on what should be done for this nation. They don't see these things. They don't hear me talk. They don't hear Barbara Buffing talking on her show or any of us talking on our shows because they won't listen to us. We don't espouse the same values as they do, which is to destroy this nation. We don't want that. That is not something that we want. That is not something that we advocate. But they do. And because of that, they will never, ever be our friends, and they will never, ever be the friends of the United States. To me, they are more of an enemy of this nation than Hezbollah is. And the reason why I say this is because Hezbollah hates us. Hezbollah essentially is forming a war against our way of life, but they're over there. Politicians that are working actively to destroy this way of life are right here. They need to be taken care of because they are here. They can do what they can to this nation because they're on the inside. That is what makes them so dangerous. that is what makes it so that we really need to stop them. Let's assume that if you're listening to conservativenationmedia.com, you're a conservative. You love America just like we do, and you don't want to get caught short in case the leftist government drops the ball and leaves the country and your family unable to get the basics of life in an emergency. Since that's the case, you're going to want a supply depot to get everything from patriotic gear to survival necessities to outfit and protect you and your family. And your pipeline to those essentials is right here at conservativenationmedia.com. Just go to our website, conservativenationmedia.com, and click on the Patriot Depot banner. That will take you to the world's best known warehouse for all your conservatives and all your emergency survival needs. Wave your flag and be ready for whatever the future holds starting right now. And go to conservativenationmedia.com and click on the Patriot Depot banner to join the conservative revolution where America always wins.
Okay, so just type the job website address here. That's it. Then you enter what job you're looking for there.
Electrician.
This is Peter. Recently, he got help going on the internet for the first time to look for a new job.
Okay, then you just hit search and...
In the past, Peter's gotten work through people he knew, but he heard there were more jobs online.
There we go.
These are all for me?
Uh-huh.
Really?
He had no idea just how many.
I can't believe it. This one looks good.
Peter is thinking the internet might be for him after all.
And this is just one website.
Wow. Why didn't I do this sooner?
See what the internet can help you do at everyoneon.org or call 1-855-387-9166 to find a free training class near you. Brought to you by Connect, Compete, and the Ad Council.
My dad came to live with us last month, and you know, it's going pretty well.
I feel like I never have time for myself.
With him being around more, it really lets us catch up on things.
His memory isn't what it used to be.
We get up and we have coffee.
He usually wakes up at 4:30.
Then we go for a walk.
He needs lots of my attention.
I do need to keep an eye on his medications, though. That's important.
Sometimes I feel like a pharmacist.
I'd say John and the kids are adjusting pretty well.
They honestly have no idea what I'm going through.
It can be a little challenging.
Help.
But so far, so good.
I could really use just a little help.
For those dealing with the daily struggles of caring for a loved one, we hear you. That's why AARP created a community with experts and other caregivers for advice, tips, and support. Together, let's help each other better care for ourselves and the ones we love. Visit aarp.org/caregiving, a public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Diane Feinstein and a criminal Senate cohort are hard at work once again supporting Americans and our ability to access and share information. Since earlier this year, the Senate has been working on a journalist shield law that will protect journalists and their confidential sources. The Senate Judiciary Committee voted in favor of a federal shield law on Thursday, but they refused to include bloggers as protected journalists. When it was revealed that the Injustice Department had subpoenaed phone records of nearly 100 AP reporters and editors as a part of a leak investigation, Congress decided to take up the shield law. A shield law allows a journalist to protect a confidential source unless the government can present a compelling reason, such as national security, to demand the source's name. Most states have shield laws, but there is no federal law. Many people, especially bloggers and online media, are concerned that once the federal government defines a journalist, then the next step is some kind of license, or at minimum, the journalist will have to get government recognition, acceptance, and approval. The sticking point seems to be on the definition of a journalist. According to what passed out of the Senate committee a journalist is, quote, an employee, independent contractor, or agent of an entity or service that disseminates news or information by means of newspaper, nonfiction book, wire service, news agency, news website, mobile application, or other news or information service, whether distributed digitally or otherwise, news program, magazine, or other periodically, whether in print, electronic, or other format, or through television or radio broadcast, multi-channel video programming distributor, or motion picture for public showing, unquote. Senators Dianne Feinstein and Richard Durbin refuse to include people such as Julian Assange of WikiLeaks or Edward Snowden among protected journalists. James Goodale, the lawyer who represented the New York Times during the Pentagon Papers case in 1971, say that Assange should be protected because he is the publishing equivalent of an author, Arthur Oakes Sulzberger Sr., the Times publisher. The Senate made sure that Assange is not covered in the bill the Senate committee passed by a 13-5. It states that a journalist does not include a person whose principal function as demonstrated by the totality of such person's or entity's work is to publish primary source documents that have been disclosed to such person or entity without authorization, unquote. The Senate bill excludes bloggers or other groups that publish websites that are not considered news sites. So I guess, folks, that means conservative nation media. If we're not a news site, we're going to be excluded too. The Senate bill excludes bloggers. According to the Senate bill, to be covered, the journalist has to have the, quote, primary intent to investigate events and procure material in order to disseminate to the public news or information, unquote, of public interest, or has to be engaged in the regular gathering, preparation, collection, photographing, recording, writing, editing, reporting, or publishing on such matters. There's a lot of blogs out there that I think do exactly that, but they're still excluded. Senator John Cornyn, a Republican of Texas, is concerned that Congress deciding who is a journalist was akin to licensing, traditionally anathema, I guess, A-N-A-T-H-E-M-A, to a free press. He said any carve-out of particular media for protection and special treatment is, in effect, government licensing of legitimate media, unquote. The bill, now on the Senate floor, would define a journalist as someone employed by or in contract with a media outlet for at least 1 year within the last 20 years or 3 months within the last 5 years, someone with a substantial track record of freelancing in the last 5 years, or a student journalist. A federal judge would also have the discretion to declare an individual a covered journalist who would be granted the privileges of the law. I think we're in trouble, folks, when the government decides for themselves who journalists are or what a journalist is. After all, I think that a journalist has been actually defined quite well in the dictionary for quite a few years now. The government doesn't have to stick their nose in this thing, but they want to because they want to get that extra little piece of what they need to do to take control of the people. And as long as there's people like me out here who does this show, and I blog too, and I also do videos, and then we have all these other people out here who do the same things, they want to get rid of us. This would be a good way to do that. Pass this kind of law and it makes us insignificant. It makes us someone who shouldn't be listened to because we don't know what the hell we're talking about. We don't work for a news agency. We don't work for a newspaper or a newsroom. We get our news pretty much from the same places. Maybe not as quickly because they have the ticker tapes that bring in the stuff that, as they're happening, whereas I have to get it from a news agency first before I can know about it, or from a news story on TV. So I guess that leaves me out because I don't have my ticker tape and I don't work for a newspaper or a television station in the news department. They are working, folks, to get rid of us. And as long as we don't realize what is going on, they're going to continue on until it's too late and we are gone. We might be able to do our shows, unless they figure out a way to shut the internet down, which I think they've been trying to do that for quite a while now, too. But the time is coming, folks, when we have to do something to stop these people in Washington before they take any more of our rights, because once the right's gone, it's gone. And that's the way that the world is. We're losing our freedoms daily. And we're losing them at a higher rate than we ever have in the history of this nation. Our friendly local pilot in command and GOP spokesman Duke Brooks calls himself a paleocon, and rightly so, since it's clear that anti-communism is in his DNA. It's also in all of ours, I think. His parents were friends with Joe McCarthy, Bill Buckley, and Whitaker Chambers, so what would you expect? There's no truth to the rumor that he has a dark board with Alger Hiss's picture on it. But you can get your weekly dosage of old-school conservatism right here, right-wing politics and American history, and Hangar Flying on Radio Free America with Duke Brooks, Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central on conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins. From Newsbusters comes this one, a perplexed Ed Schultz on Friday. Couldn't fathom, and this is one I was telling you about earlier, folks, about when I was talking about how some people can't figure out why we don't love Obama anymore. This is one of them. Ed Schultz on Friday said that he couldn't fathom why Americans have failed to love Obama. The MSNBC anchor highlighted a new poll showing that the president has only a 45% approval rating, and it should be a hell of a lot lower than that. But Schultz marveled. Quote, I just cannot believe this number. Seriously. Unquote. The confused host sputtered, it amazes me that people don't love Obama. It just amazes me he can't get above 50% when it comes to a favorable view of the economy. Schultz also took time to trash Ronald Reagan, the man who won 49 states in his 1984 reelection bid. Now, just to be clear, maybe I can help in this matter, Mr. Schultz. Maybe it could be the fact that Obama is constantly doing things that are against the Constitution. He keeps pulling executive privilege and pushing his own laws that go totally against the law of the land. He totally ignores the laws that are already on the books and then pushes for new ones that agree with his policies. And he has the lamestream media to do his bidding for him. When he gets in trouble for doing the illegal things he is doing, then he gets lackeys like you to cover for him. Need I say more? Well, there is more. He hates the Constitution because it limits him on the things he can do to the people, which is, by the way, the reason the Constitution was written the way it was. He has grown government to the point that it is taking in more money than the American people have to give, and it still isn't enough. He has gone against the Constitution and the laws of America to push an illegal health care takeover and then illegally forcing it on the people who has been shown 75% didn't want. But he is now forcing his illegal program on us while opting out of it for him and his family and the lackeys he has on his side in the government. If this program was so great, then why are they all trying to opt out of it? Obama is the worst president that America has ever had, bar none. And you can't figure out why we don't love him? Are you stupid or something? We will be right back after these short messages.
If you love America, you're among friends here.
It is with great pleasure that I welcome you to today's graduation ceremony. Students, when you hear the reason or reasons for your absences throughout the years, please exit the auditorium without your high school diploma. Once you've exited, remove your cap and gown and proceed into the unknown. Too tired. Family trip. Part-time job. Helping around the house. Sick day. Starting the holidays early. Just because.
Starting in the sixth grade, students who miss 18 days or more of school in a year for any reason will fall behind and risk not graduating high school. How many days of school has your child missed this year? Absences add up. Keep track at boostattendance.org today. Brought to you by the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
You are listening to the New Wise Conservatism radio show, heard here on Blog Talk Radio through the new and revamped Conservative Nation Media, the network that Obama would love to stop but can't because we are growing by leaps and bounds. The call-in number is 718-305-7176.
Hey, there he is. How's it going?
I'm having a stroke.
Are you going to shake my hand or what?
I'm having a stroke.
Wow, you're not even moving your arm.
I'm having a stroke.
Are you okay?
I'm having a stroke.
Your face looks weird, too.
I'm having a stroke.
Are you having a seizure or something?
I'm having a stroke.
When someone is having a stroke, they may not be able to say it with words, but their body language will tell you loud and clear.
I'm having a stroke.
You just need to know the sudden signs. Look for FAST, F-A-S-T. F, face drooping. A, arm weakness. Or S, speech difficulty. Then T, time. Time to call 911 immediately, because the sooner they get to the hospital, the sooner they'll get treatment. And that can make a remarkable difference in their recovery. Know the sudden signs. Face, arm, speech, time. Spot a stroke fast. Visit strokeassociation.org. Brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
In an article written by Pamela Geller, he had asked the question, is Obama the weakest president in history? This one came from England, folks. Not only is Obama the weakest, he is the worst. We had ample warning. I laid it all out in my 2010 book, The Post-American Presidency, The Obama Administration's War on America. The fact that America had ample evidence that Obama was a dangerous and feckless choice, but she made the wrong choice anyway, and America has to pay for her mistake, and that's what we are doing. And in an article in British news outlet asks, is Obama the weakest president in history? From the Examiner, Anna Pukas writes at the UK Express, ineffectual, invisible, unable to honor pledges, and now blamed for letting Gaddafi off the hook, why Obama's gone from yes we can to maybe we shouldn't, Pukas reminds readers of the euphoria felt by many on the left when Obama, the son of a Kenyan goatherd, was elected to be America's first African-American president. Liberals across the country swooned as though it was the second coming of the Messiah. Giddy from the election, some thought their days of working were over and the new president would pay their mortgage and put gas in their car. She also reminds us of this simple slogan, yes, we can, but immediately notes, his presidency, however, is turning out to be more than just more about like no we won't. Even more worryingly, it seems to be very much about maybe we can do what exactly. The world feels like a dangerous place when leaders are seen to lack servitude. But the only thing President Obama seems decisive about is his indecision. What should the U.S. do about Libya? What should the U.S. do about the Middle East in general? What about the country's crippling debts? What is the U.S. going to do about Afghanistan, about Iran? Pukka's questions are direct and to the point. They also happen to be the same questions asked by many here in the U.S. She spends much of her article on the obvious indecision displayed by Obama on the issues of Libya, but his inability to lead has been apparent to many conservatives since the very beginning. One thing Obama is good at, though, is campaigning and going on vacation, of course. He seems to spend a lot of time playing golf. There's always NCAA brackets to be chosen. Those are, after all, far more important issues than bloodshed in Libya. She writes, it is also true that the president is constantly stymied by a hostile Republican-ruled Congress. Oh, poor baby. But Obama's apparent reluctance to engage with momentous events is starting to look like more than aloofness, some tempering of America's role as the world's number one busybody may be no bad thing, but under Obama, the U.S. seems to be heading towards isolationism. He is hardly doing much better at home. Economically, the U.S. is in big trouble, but the national debt is not shrinking. Perhaps Ms. Pukas doesn't realize that for the first 2 years of Obama's terms, he had a solid majority in both the House and the Senate, and the GOP has only been in majority in the House for 3 months. He still has the majority in the Senate. However, a number of Democrats are concerned about their re-election in 2012. And this was written, I guess, a while back. Says she also seems to forget the world's number one busybody is the same nation that led the fight against Nazism and Japanese imperialism, and the same nation that stood firm against the expansion of Soviet communism. Obama is not leading the nation to isolationism, as she puts it, but rather leading the nation to a status just slightly above a banana republic. She continued, yes, we can was a noble and powerful mantra, which secured for Barack Obama the leadership of the free world. That and the hatred of George W. Bush, along with the sympathetic, no adoring media complex that did everything it could to ensure his election while trashing Republican VP candidate Sarah Palin in the most despicable way imaginable. Pukas concludes by writing, those that can do, those then can do, this time he started doing. This is the sentiment most of us agree upon. The problem, however, is that Obama has never held any executive position in his life, nor has he ever served a day in uniform. His resume is that of a radical political agitator, and he is very good at that. The sad reality is that Americans have elected the most inexperienced, radical, left-wing ideologue as president. On practically every issue except health care, he is dithered, flipped, flopped, and diddled. Well, when the going gets tough, he gets going to Rio, Hawaii, the golf course, or wherever the First Lady Michelle wants to go. In short, the world is burning while President Obama fiddles. And finally, some good news, I think. John McCain has hinted at retirement, and a couple of you in the chat room already mentioned this one. Senator John McCain of Arizona hinted that he might be serving his last term in office, admitting that he does not want to become one of those old guys that should have shoved off. Well, it's like I said earlier, he's about a decade too late on that one. McCain, a 27-year veteran of the Senate and former presidential candidate, made the admission while speaking about his relationship with President Obama when he said, the president and I, he's in his last term, and I'm probably in mine. The relationship we have had over the last 3 years is quite good, McCain told the Rap in an interview. Quite good. So we can all cross our fingers that one of the rhinos that we have railed against may soon be gone. Sadly, John, that day came about a decade ago, I think. We now have a show every day of the week, with the new show starting on September 5th, that started on September 5th in 2013 on Thursday. So our lineup now is Sunday nights. We have Soldier of Patriotism with Michael B. Smith and his own show now, and also on Sunday nights right after Soldier of Patriotism is out, one of our new shows where Uncle Bing Fisher has his own show, American by Design, at 6 p.m. Eastern. So now we have two shows on Sunday, making it 4 hours instead of just two with our two main men, Michael B. and Uncle Bing. Monday is Inside Tennessee with Dave Vance. Tuesday nights we have Women Patriots with Brenda Ward and Barbara Buffing. Wednesday is Radio Free America with Duke Brooks. On Thursdays will be another new show, the new one called Second Amendment Forum with Maxwell Winchester Roberts. Give a listen. And on Fridays is our very own Chris Manti with the Chris Manti Show, mixing the Word of God with the way we should be doing things here in America. And, of course, yours truly on Saturdays, which means that after I go off the air tonight, you won't have to hear me until next Saturday. Until next week, my friends, God bless you for all of your work in trying to keep this nation going. And I hope that we continue to fight for this nation. God bless you all, and work and continue to work to save our great republic, and stay safe, and have a great day and a great week to come. God bless you all.
Sometimes I wish they'd tell me how justice got so blind. I wish they'd just leave me alone, 'cause I'm doing alright. You can take your change on down the road and leave me here with mine. 'Cause that ain't my America, that ain't this country's Bruce. I'm letting you know.
God bless you all.
God bless you all.